You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Horizon, an American saga, Chapter 1.
You, no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Hail Satan.
Satan lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Cowan.
How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm good. Just came into the podcast. I'm a horse, my six shooter. I'm ready to do this.
Nice. Be sure to stop by the brothel on the way into town.
I'm not stopping at that brothel. I'm going up to the whorehouse at the top of the hill. That's where all the good whores are. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Hey, Brian, you seem like you're going somewhere with a purpose. Do we need to have a conversation about this?
Oh, do we ever. It'll be a 3-hour long conversation.
It'll probably go as nowhere as this movie did, maybe.
All right, Griggs, settle down.
We're going to strain this man out of the gate. We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about the 3-hour first installment of 4 planned?
4 question mark?
Yeah.
They'll get through all of them, don't
planned.
Worry.
It's planned, okay?
Not yeah,
planned.
It's going to happen.
It is going to happen.
Well. In someone's mind, it's going to happen, yeah.
Someone has already written the scripts for all 4 of them. I know that for a fact. But whether or not the other 3 get actually made and released...
Well,
the second one is shot already.
Apparently. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't one done? The second one's done now?
The second one is done and was scheduled to be released August 16th. But, beginning of this week, I think, or end of last week, it got pulled. Taken off
the
release calendar.
Yeah. I heard that it was because the audience for this is older people and they're slow to go to the movies, so they want to give them more time to watch it.
I think that's the cover story is the word I'm going to choose to describe it with, that people are using to talk about this, of like, we just want to give the audience more time to discover the movie, a.k.a. ain't nobody going to see this, we're like not making any of our money back, and we want to make sure we get at least a little bit out of it before we overwhelm and saturate the market with the second one. I think that makes sense. Like, if you have a movie that you want to get at least a little bit more out of the theaters and probably some off of video on demand, absolutely wait. Hold the second one back. Like, 2 months in between the two that they were trying to do?
Yeah.
That's really fast.
It's really ambitious.
Yeah.
Especially for a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
Look, guys, movies are long. Come on now.
Why
is everybody, like harping on this 3-hour thing? All movies are 3 hours now. Get used to it.
I don't like it. They don't need to be. If they need to be, that's one thing. But they don't need to be, okay? Like, this did not need to be 3 hours long.
This was not a 3-hour movie. This was a really short, limited series that happened to get released in theaters.
You're using buzzwords that you hear on the internet there, Mike.
I have not read a fucking single thing about this goddamn movie. I'm just going to say all my opinions are my own. I have not absorbed anything else anyone has tried to articulate. If I find something, it is my own shit. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm going to look at all of it tomorrow because I'm really interested to see what everybody else is thinking. I just didn't want to spoil this conversation because I have no love for this movie.
Man, let me go ahead and tell you, I was disappointed they moved the sequel back because I was so excited that I was going to see Horizon, American Saga Chapter 2, and Alien Romulus on the same fucking day. How cool would that have been? Kevin Costner Western and sci-fi alien horror? Oh my God, my mind was going to explode. It was the Barbie Oppenheimer extravaganza of this year.
We already had that release like 15 years ago. It's called Cowboys and Aliens. They just put it in the same movie.
Well, see, that's where they made the mistake. See, they needed the 3-hour Kevin Costner epic, you know, middle chapter. The, I don't know, the Empire Strikes Back of Westerns, if you will.
Oh, oh wow. My God. Oh, my God. Wow. Wow.
So I'm thinking that you guys were a little bored in this?
Oh, my God. I was so fucking bored. Listen, it was a beautiful movie. And as I, like, settled in and realized that this is not a movie I'm about to watch, this is just, like, an experience I'm going to witness of, like, people talking about the Old West and just a bunch of people doing some random shit. Like, I settled in and kind of accepted what was happening. It was a better experience. But, fuck, it was not a good movie. I'm sorry. It was... Nothing happened. Nothing happened for 3 fucking hours.
Lots of
and
stuff
like,
happened.
Lots of stuff happened, Mike.
Oh, there's like 40 different characters. We're introduced to them long enough to see that they exist, and then we leave.
That was actually my biggest struggle was every time there was a new character and they just started like doing stuff and talking about stuff, I was like, do I know them? What are
right. Who is this what, person?
What's going
do,
on?
Do we have some connection?
Did
like,
I miss
is there
something?
Some connection with something
they introduce
else?
Everybody. Everybody gets an introduction scene. Everybody like builds their character. Guys, just are you just not watching the movie?
I mean, maybe that's the problem.
maybe that's the problem? What?
Maybe that's the
yeah,
problem. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I have to enjoy the movie to watch it. Like, just because you put me in front of the screen, like, doesn't mean I'm going to be captivated by what's on it. Okay.
Yeah, there was nothing going on that was interesting. Okay. All right. I'll give it to you. Lots of things happened, but none of it was interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it right now. I think this is the best movie of the year.
What the fuck are you smoking?
Look.
Where can I get some?
This was just such a... it was a nice return to form for, like, adult filmmaking, for dramas, for characters. I loved all of this stuff. I loved seeing it in the big scope. We usually get this kind of shit on television. You're right. You're 100% right. It does remind me a little bit of, like, A Lonesome Dove. I understand that. It was nice seeing it on the big screen, man. It was nice seeing these big shots. It was awesome seeing, like, just fucking Wyoming and the fucking hills, dude. And when Kevin Costner comes, like, fucking, and he's being introduced on his horse. Oh, my God, it's so fucking awesome. It's like, it's mythic filmmaking, man. We're just like, you know, whatever. This is all we have in fucking, you know, in American history. That's like fucking, it's legendary, you know, it's mythic. This is what we have in this country. This is all we got. Right, is the Wild West.
Okay, I agree with a chunk of what you said in that this movie is absolutely beautiful. And I think I was partly sad when I was watching it because I was like, yeah, we don't get movies like this anymore. This is like a grand, epic movie. And I was so sad that I did not enjoy it. And I was like, am I just not the target audience? Or is this not a good movie? And I watched it twice and I determined it's not a great movie. It looks beautiful, and yes, the filmmaking, this is epic filmmaking, this is an epic movie, but like the script needs to be totally redone. Like, it was just the most boring thing that I've ever seen. In terms of them talking, if none of them talked, I actually think I would have liked it a lot better.
But that's what's so great about this, is it's a lot of talking, and not, I mean, there's action and stuff, but there's all the stuff that leads up to it. Story building.
You can keep everything exactly the same. I just don't want to hear them. I'm not saying cut out the boring parts. That's fine. Let me just imagine what they're saying. I don't like the dialogue.
Like, just mute the dialogue. Yeah. See, I would go one step further and say cut out the dialogue, and then maybe the movie would be short and actually moderately interesting, and then a bunch of things would happen, and you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? I'm so into this because everybody's just killing everybody, and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, but and to that point, no, you're right. When Kevin Costner shows up on his little horse, you're like, wow, this looks amazing. But then his storyline starts, and you're like, oh, okay.
What? No, his storyline was
awesome.
What
the fuck? His storyline is awesome. He comes into town and like the whole whore thing, yeah. And she's trying to find her position in town, and then how they get roped into like dealing with the baby, and then the guy coming. That fucking showdown outside the fucking house by the water trough is so awesome.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's it really tense.
You saw that? I hope so.
No, that walk up the hill was great. Come on, that was good tension building. You kept wondering, like, all right, okay, when is he going to pull out the gun? When is he going to pull it out? When's he going to pull it out? That was good.
Oh, he's pissing. Hold on, we got to wait a second.
And he gives, he's such a dick, he gives Kevin Costner the gun to hold it to while he's fucking pissing. Here, hold my rifle. Oh my gosh. What was that family's name? I forgot what their last name was.
The brother and the son guy that's the dick that got killed?
Yeah, and they're searching for the baby.
Oh, fuck.
That the whore stole. I guess she wasn't a whore. You don't know her story. I do want to know.
No, she's a whore.
Are you talking about Jenna Malone?
Yeah.
I guess she was. There was some implication that maybe she was a whore.
Yeah,
and that's why she got pregnant from the father dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because they kept mentioning, like, I never let the guy's wife know. That should count for something. They're like, well, it doesn't. So I don't know if, like, she was just like side mistress or something, or
she was a whore that turned side piece. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I would have liked a little bit more information on that.
For the amount of information we get on all the other characters, it's surprising that we don't have that.
I will take your subtle dig and agree with it. Mostly.
Their last name is Sykes.
Sykes. There we go. And I liked both of the brothers. I thought they were decent villains.
Yeah, the one guy, I didn't realize it was Jesus from The Walking Dead.
Jesus?
He plays Jesus in The Walking Dead.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that part.
Which one? The big brother or the scrawny little one?
The one that gets killed, yeah.
Oh, I recognized him from, he's in the fourth season of Stranger Things.
Oh, really?
He plays. I won't tell you then who he plays. Okay. He's in that season.
Wait, he is? I've seen the fourth season of Stranger Things. Does he have makeup on?
No, he's in flashbacks.
Oh.
He plays the. Do you remember now?
Okay, all right. Fuck. I don't think I would have put
a rather significant character, Jared, that when you finally get there, you will appreciate.
Okay. Well, his brother looked like the guy off Supernatural.
It totally looked like him.
I hear a lot of people saying that because I was like, "Holy shit, Jared Padalecki's in this!" Yeah. Like,
nah. He like got taller and like slightly thinner.
Yeah, he's like
in his
huge.
Face, like.
Yeah, no way. Yeah. But he totally looks like that guy. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he's the guy that has the coyote around his neck. He's just total badass.
He does look like a badass. I will say the costumes do a fuck ton of work in this movie because everybody looks spectacular and epic and interesting. And like everything that there is to look at on screen is really, really interesting. But that dude just feels like a character straight out of TV. And maybe the actor is too. So like, I don't know. Like the older brother he had some menace to him, but it didn't carry any weight to me because, like, nothing really happened with him. He just kind of threatened his brother. Like, it seemed like that was the whole point of it, was to make it seem like the big bad that Kevin Costner is killing is actually really just a small fry and there's worse out there or some shit. I don't know. Like,
oh, there will be. Yeah. There's four movies, bro.
Yeah. That's a lot of characters we're going to introduce, I guess, maybe.
160, no, what is 111 speaking roles or something like that? I remember.
Jesus.
Yeah, something like that. But in all of it.
Oh, in all four movies?
In all of it, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of named actors just in this one, like if you scroll through the IMDb.
And man, a lot of them were really good. Like Sam Worthington, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love him. He's fantastic.
You don't see him enough?
I know, because I'm like, you only ever see him as Jake Sully, and I'm like, oh my God, he's gotten old. What happened?
I only ever see him twice in the two movies that I watched by him.
He's not 25 anymore? Jesus Christ.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, I need to see him more. I see you. Man.
And fucking, was it Sienna Miller? Holy shit, I didn't know she's
God, she
that
is
amazing. Yeah.
I didn't know she
she's
could act.
She's gorgeous in this movie.
You know she could act. I thought she was just a pretty face, man. Look, I think the only other film I recognized her from, like, straight away when I was watching this movie was that fucking terrible G.I. Joe movie.
Oh my god, yeah.
She can't act her way out of a fucking paper bag in this, you know, and in this movie, like, oh my god, when she's holding her kid, her dead son, and she's just like, oh, it's going to be okay.
That's
I'm going to let
great
you
moment.
Go. Oh, yeah. Man, holy shit. Not a goddamn dry ass in the house. Dry eye in the house.
You guys didn't like the fucking the whole opening like battle with like putting the kids in the hall and with mom and,
yeah.
and the older son being like I'm gonna go with dad and that whole moment where the dad realizes that his son is there with him and he's like fuck and the other guy because he's like whoa man hold it together in front of your kid bro like you know they have this whole total moment
yeah
come
the,
on
the toxic masculinity shit.
Yeah,
no, like that sequence was really great. Go ahead, Kristen. Go ahead.
No, actually, I was going to agree with you. Is that there? Yeah, the opening sequence was enjoyable. Anything that like Sienna Miller, like there are a couple of characters that I did really like, and so when they were on screen for like you know a couple of minutes, I was happy with that. But the script is pretty toxic. Like this is like. It just reminded me of like if I were to talk to like an older Republican, like one of the Make America Great Agains, this is the script they would come up with when I was watching. Like that's accurate. What I was thinking the whole time.
All right, hold on, back up. You're gonna have to explain this to me just a little bit clearer because this is a Western.
Yeah.
I want to know how this movie is any more toxic than any other fucking Western you have ever seen in your goddamn life. Explain that to
I
me.
I think you just answered your own question by saying it's a Western, just like every other fucking Western.
Okay.
They're all toxic. That's
so.
Some could argue that's the point of a Western. I would argue that that's just the influence of the people who have made so many of the Westerns that we see.
Also, I don't think when you show violence in such a negative light, I don't think that you can say it's toxic masculinity.
Yeah, or telling
violence.
A man to not fucking crumble in front of his son who knows they're all about to die is toxic masculinity.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. No, he's not saying don't crumble in front of your son. He's saying don't show fucking emotion in front of your son because your son is watching you, and that's not what boys are supposed to do. That's not what men are supposed to do.
No.
There's nothing wrong with being a parent.
Keep his shit
that's
100%
together. What he's doing.
His parent is supposed to keep his crap together, dude. They tell you that, and even in the hospital, like, come on, dude, keep your shit together. If you need to cry, go outside in the room. Don't break down
in front of your kids.
That's not toxic masculinity. That's just, come on. You need to be like a little bit of a fucking leader as a parent. You know, I don't know. Also, too, it's not like, what are you going to do? Have a touchy-feely moment in the middle of fucking being shot at with arrows and fucking muskets? I don't know.
He was building towards the possibility of that. Could have been interesting. I'm just saying.
This is why I do see what you guys are saying, Brian, Jared. I see what you guys are saying. Yes, you parents need to be leaders, and yes, you can't just have breakdowns in front of your children all the time. Okay, I get it. But like I think that's the issue that I have with a lot of the script in this movie. One of the issues I have is that it's not. Like, everything that they present is, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I could see it that way. I guess I could see it that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way, but, I guess it does make sense. And that's why it presents to me as very, like, MAGA-coded.
No, hold up. But then,
yeah,
hold up. Let's stop and think about this just for 1 second, all right? So that scene right after that ends, then we go to a Native American village where we see an old man, right, who is literally like listening to a warrior, right, of his tribe. I forget what the tribe was that they named, right? So was it Apache?
Apaches.
There you go, right? Yeah. So you got this young Apache warrior that just slaughtered all these settlers, and he's like, oh, look, I can't stay here. You don't want us to fight for our land. Fuck you. I'm going to take these people, and we're gonna march, and we're going to start war with all these motherfuckers that are taking our shit. And the guy's just like, look, that's fine. And he even lets his son go with him, and he's like, look, I'm just happy I know who my sons are. So you can't say that it's toxic masculinity and it's MAGA when we're literally seeing the Native Americans be the better parents. That goes against that whole message. What are we talking about right now? I'm confused.
Get him, Brian.
I'm just saying. Come on. Like,
So you're saying there are two contrasting ideals and opinions?
Yeah, well, that's what this whole movie is about,
right?
This
movie is racist. I'm not saying the movie is racist.
Well, it can't be.
That's not what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is you can't say the movie is one thing when they show you both.
Right?
When I don't think, I think this extends, I mean, I guess my point extends beyond the toxic masculinity. I mean, there's a number of scenes, and they present all of it in a way where you're like, yeah, okay, that does make sense. And I mean, the other one that comes to mind is when the guy is an artist, and there's two scenes that he does. One where they're like, if you see people working, you should be fucking working, you know, which like, okay, yeah, I guess you should, but like also,
yeah.
Also you're attacking artists. And then there's the scene later.
No, Kristen,
where,
those people, I wanted to murder them. I wanted to murder them.
Okay. No, I didn't say they're good people. And that's my point. They're not good people. That's my point though, is every time they do one of these like very conservative points, you're like, oh, I guess I can see that though. I can see what they're saying. And that's, I feel like it's a very slippery slope. But the second time that they come back though, they're like looking at something like very beautiful, and the wife is like, oh, here's your notepad. Do you want to draw it? And he's like, no, I'm going to sit and enjoy this with my eyes. Like, shut up. Like, come on. Like, you know, that's like coded against people with their phones, like taking a photo, like, give me a break. You want to be in the moment. And then the other thing where they do this also is, I think it's actually the same characters. But like when she's like bathing and she decides to bathe at night with the drinking water, like the whole thing is super weird. But they set it up that way so that when they have to go like chastise that Luke Wilson goes to chastise the guys, he's like, yeah, you know, I don't really want to like be here telling you this, like this is really on her, you know, and like, I don't know. There's just so many things that I'm like, yo, I've heard this argument before, actually.
Like, why is that in the fucking movie? Like, why is that a thing that we need to care about in this great, expansive epic of a movie of 3 hours? Why do we have a whole fucking scene where two guys are creeping on a woman who's naked? Maybe it was inappropriate that she was naked, but they are non-consensually doing this shit. So, like, why do we fucking care about these two guys?
But they don't defend her. She's the one who gets in trouble. And right. and when they're like, yeah, well,
she
what
doesn't
you,
get in
you
trouble for that.
He does. No. He yells at her.
No,
he's
he tells her what were you doing?
He says, if you don't...
That's not your water.
It's not your water, and maybe
that's
you won't get any more water in the future.
Yeah, he's chastising her because you're using the water that we need. And
yeah,
if you see anybody else here, you see anyone else here bathing, if you hadn't bathed, you wouldn't have put yourself
at night in the drink water. I know. It's a weird situation. But that's my point.
She shouldn't have done that.
Is they take all of the conservative arguments and then set it up to go, see how they're wrong? Do you see how they're wrong? So here's our arguments.
No.
You see how they're wrong?
Okay, Kristen.
No?
This is you bringing baggage into the movie. No. No. Okay. So the reason those guys are there creeping is because when you're introduced to those guys, that big dude, the big bald guy, right, with the facial hair, he's holding the wagon up.
Yeah, he's helping
fix
the wheel.
Right, when the wheel, and then when he gets up, everyone pats him on the back, and you're like, oh, this dude's the biggest guy in this wagon. Fucking, he's going to fucking help these out, or he's going to die trying helping these motherfuckers. Oh, this is going to be so cool. And then he turns out to be a creep, and when Luke Wilson comes over to confront him, Luke Wilson is going to confront him. And he comes over there with his gun.
Yes.
Yeah, and then when that dude stands up, that's when he fucking turns around and leaves because he's scared.
Yeah, I know. I understand he's scared of him. I understand he's not a good leader. But that's my thing, is that when the British dude, who again I know is not a good character, is like, yo, can you go talk to this guy who was creeping on my wife? Luke Wilson is like, because you're afraid? What, are you afraid to talk to your wife too? Like there's just so much fucking nonsense in this. Like, I don't.
Well, no,
Chris,
I'm not talking about Luke Wilson in that scenario. I'm talking about the bald guy. The bald guy is the one that we're setting up to be a hero. And then we learn that he is actually probably a villain and a scary individual in this piece. I like that. That's what this whole movie is doing. It's setting up our expectations to, like, look, this is what we're doing. This is what the Western movies did before. You know this. This is shorthand, right? And then the movie goes, stop. That's not how the real West was. That's not how real people are. And they switch it. I think that is genius. This isn't a Gary Cooper Western. This isn't High Noon. This isn't, I'm a sheriff. I know the bad guy's getting off the train. I have to be there at this time, and we're going to wait 90 fucking minutes until the very end of the movie to have a shootout. I think that's smart.
Okay, maybe in the second, third, and fourth movie, yeah, I will think it's brilliant.
Well, but, like, this is the first installment. This one.
Yeah. So, and so that's one of the things that I do kind of struggle with these insanely long movies that takes forever to release, is because there's no resolution. You're given half a movie, or in this, you're given a quarter of a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I will take that complaint as long as everybody that makes that complaint has that same fucking complaint that comes out of their mouth about every fucking Star Wars movie and every Lord of the Rings movie and every fucking Harry Potter film.
Didn't I say that about the second Lord of the Rings that I saw? I didn't like it because there's no beginning and no end. And I said that about Dune. No, I have this complaint.
You didn't
consistently
say that about Lord of the Rings because you didn't see the first Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
That was the point.
I know. You're correct.
And that's the best point.
Yeah, this is a consistent complaint from me, yes, and I'm saying it about this one also.
All right, we'll take that, Kristen. At least you're consistent. Kristen's like, fuck middle chapters. Make it all one story.
I don't want to wait. Let me watch the thing at once, okay?
It's a long 12-hour movie.
No, I would if it was like a good like 12-hour series where it does have this massive character development and there's the other things are going on, I would actually love that. Yes, make it a 12-hour movie. We can make it like a weekend thing. Yeah, I would do that.
Oh, we're going to do that.
No, we're not going to do that because we just watched this now. I'm not watching it again.
Oh. Wait, you're not going to rewatch part one when you go see part two in the theaters? You got to have a refresher.
Next month? No.
Well, it got pushed, Kristen. It's going to be a while.
Probably be next
year.
It's
probably, when do you think? I was thinking like December or something. Try for the holiday crowd.
Yeah, 6 months would make sense. That's what some of the other movies have done. More for their own scheduling, production schedules. Struggles, whatever. But yeah.
But the other thing I was thinking about was, I feel like they wanted this to come out like before the election and to be like a very like rallying cry of like, yeah, I remember what made America and like how we got here kind of thing. And I feel like that just did not work. I feel like this is like a movie that needs to come out after the election. I think it would be better received.
It didn't really have the Woo America thing, though. It was like, maybe that happens in part three or four, when you actually get into the Civil War battles and all that stuff. This was all setting up characters and just laying the pipe for the storylines.
Laying the pipe, huh?
Laying the pipe. That's right. That's what happened at the end, finally.
All right. Can we talk about Kevin Costner's sex scenes for a second? Since you brought up laying pipe, Jared.
That man loves an awkward sex scene. Let's just say that.
So awkward. so awkward. I'm glad that wasn't just me. Thank you. Okay.
Oh, no. I think everybody in the theater was like, what?
Everybody's like looking around like, is this supposed to be sexy?
He's like, I'm all used up, girl. She's like, just lay there. I'll handle it.
Was that hot back in the old West?
Hey, he likes to get fucked. You know, he likes to lay there and let things happen to him. Like, you know, in the postman.
Lay there and take it.
Yeah, just... Just take it all, girl.
Woo! Yeah, it's definitely weird.
So she comes in and like sleeps with him and then leaves a note and the baby, and she gives the baby to the Asian family. Yeah, but isn't he also in the same
camp? Yeah.
Camp as them, and they know that he's with that baby? What? Why wouldn't the Asian family be like, here's your kid?
I mean, that's the next movie, Jared. You're kidding.
No, he's already gone by that point, though.
Well, she wrote him a note, you know. And
oh, yeah, okay. I guess that's fine.
So I guess, yeah. I guess that she was like, yeah, that's not the kid's
I like
father.
How excited the lady was. He was like, oh, she's like, look, I got a baby.
Finally, we have acquired something.
His name is Samuel.
This will be dinner for like 3 nights.
Oh, my God. Eat the rich.
I don't know. The first time I saw the movie, I did kind of hate her for leaving the kid like that. But I don't know. The second time I saw the movie, I was kind of like, yeah, it's not her kid. Fuck him.
She's doing her own thing, man. She can't raise that kid.
Yeah, she's just trying to survive. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I was kind of like, all right. I'll let that one go. I can forgive that one. But those super British people on that goddamn, that wagon trail. Man, I swear, they were driving me nuts. I was waiting for them to die.
I didn't like any of them. Like, they, I don't know why any of them were in the movie. We could have cut all of that out. Here, there we go. That would have saved the
thing. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, why are we supposed to care about any of these characters? Yes, they are presented to us as humans that are doing things in the Old West, but what the fuck? Why do we care?
Well, did you guys notice in the, I guess in the trailer or the clip reel montage at the very end of the movie...
The second movie, like, highlight montage next thing that's, like, not announced, but, like, all of a sudden we're seeing, like, more shit happen in 4 minutes than we saw the entire fucking movie have happen?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's finally picking up. No, this is from the next movie, isn't it? God damn it.
You see the English couple, Luke Wilson says something to him along the lines of, like, you know, if your wheel breaks again, you know... Like, maybe you should take care of it yourself so we don't all have to stop and help you fix your wheel. And there's a shot in that trailer where there's a wagon that's broken down and all the wagons are leaving them. Mm-hmm. So I assumed that was them. So I think they're going to probably get stranded out there. That's why they're in this one.
I don't want to watch them get stranded either, though.
Oh, come on. It'll be like Dances with Wolves Part 2, all right? Like, the mom or the dad, like, or whatever. I don't know, the husband or the wife. They don't have any kids. But, you know, like, one of them, they'll go mix with the Apache, and they'll be like, hey, what's up?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
Right? And, like, they'll learn the ways of the savages out in the wilderness. It'll be great. Next time we see them, it'll be, like, in furs. It'll be awesome. And then the British guy will be like, oh, dear, honey, what has happened to you? Oh. Right? No? All right, you guys.
Yeah, that'd be
right,
awesome.
You guys aren't here for it. All right. Thank you, Jared. At least somebody is.
I know. Up, down.
Sorry, I just thought about trying to care about that, and I got bored just thinking about it.
I mean, like, maybe. It could be. I mean, maybe. It depends on who writes it.
I mean, she was attractive, so maybe that would be interesting. Like, that. I don't know.
Yeah, she was pretty, I guess. No, I want to see Sam Worthington, and I want to see Sienna Miller and her daughter, and Kevin Costner, and that's it. I don't care about anybody else.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, those are the highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sienna Miller and Sam Worthington give each other looks, man. God, oh, they give each other looks. Yeah. Oh,
no, that shit's great, yeah.
Yeah, there were a few other characters that I did like, but those were the main characters that, like, talked the most that I... Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's, like, the main character in this. Like, no one's a main character.
God damn it, Kristen.
It's like a TV show. It's a TV ensemble cast.
When you texted us that you were going to see this twice, you know, I was getting a little excited. I was like, Kristen likes this movie.
No, I don't. I watch every movie twice. If I can, I watch every movie twice.
You got to make sure that your first assessment is correct. That's and accurate.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
How many times did you watch it, Mike?
Fucking once, man, because it was so goddamn boring. I could have maybe watched it today since we pushed it back, but I was like, I don't care enough. I'm sorry.
I mean, I will say, like, when you're sitting there, there's stuff to look at. This is beautiful. This is shot so well.
Yes.
The costumes are perfect. The production design, like, everything is beautiful. The hair, the makeup, like, all of it. So there's stuff to look at. Like, this is eye candy, you know? Like, it's just unfortunate that it's, they talk, that's all.
Because when they talk, it implies that we should care.
Exactly.
Because there's things that's happening that we need to care about, and none of that actually goes anywhere or does anything, so...
Especially like when people get angry and you're like, why are they angry? Did I wait?
What are you talking
about?
About
that? Because I didn't care about that. Do you care about that?
Who got angry that you were like, how dare you, sir? Why are you mad?
Yeah, no, there's a lady who got angry and started screaming. And I was like,
Michael Rooker's wife, when he stole his own furniture out of his kid's bedroom and then she comes and yells at him.
I guess.
That's the old lady at the end?
No,
are you talking
no,
about
no.
You're talking about the madam who owns the brothel in town who got, like, upset with Marigold?
Oh,
it's like,
don't
no, you
but
dare,
I also didn't
like,
care
get
about
to them
that.
Before we
oh,
do.
Yeah, that also didn't make any sense. Like,
yeah,
what,
I didn't care about that. I was like, why are you yelling?
That was backstory. What are you talking about?
That was not backstory.
What are you talking about? That she wants her to not steal any of her business. Like, the men need to come through my brothel, not go to you.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been...
That's backstory.
Better.
That's backstory that she obviously has been doing that. That's backstory on her character.
That is backstory.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how we learn about her being a hoa.
Okay, so that's exposition. That's not backstory. We didn't learn anything about her because there's nothing that happens after that interaction. You just recognize that
she steals Kevin Costner
with
away.
One person. She doesn't steal Kevin Costner away.
What? Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
He was not going into the brothel in the first place. He was actively avoiding it as
he
a concept.
Told the guy when he gave the other guy money. He's like, I'm right behind you. He's like, he let that guy borrow some gold. And he's like, man, when we get to the next place, I'll give you this back tenfold. And he's like, all right, man, cool.
Was
I'm
that
right
gold or
you.
Was that drugs? It looked like drugs.
It was gold.
It was gold dust.
It was gold for him to go. It was gold dust to go okay. pay for the brothel. And he was like, I need to go. Basically, he was going to go write this letter. Then he was going over to the brothel.
That would have been awesome if Kevin Costner was like, here goes your PCP. Have fun, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, like he's like, man, you got any more of that stuff? And he's like, yeah, I got you on this one. That's what it looked like.
Hey, man,
like,
you got that thing on you?
That makes sense. Yeah. We've all been that guy.
Yeah, no shit.
Hey, save
hey,
me.
Hey, come on. Step over here for a minute.
Kevin Costner looks really good for a drug addict.
Yeah. The gold rush.
See, that's immediately more interesting than anything else in this fucking movie.
I thought they were actually talking about gold this entire time. Drugs.
Brian, can we watch the trailer so we can get some motivation?
All right.
It's pretty, guys. Let's get reminded how pretty it is.
We'll be right back. We're going to watch the trailer for Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga, chapter one.
You and I are standing guard on one of the last great open spaces. These people think that if they're tough enough, smart enough, and mean enough, all this will be there someday. There's no army of this earth that's going to stop those wagons coming, little as they're wanted.
Get as many of us as I can, as far as I can.
I'd just like to have a drink tonight with someone that knows how to act.
You're not taking the full measure of this, Mary. I know the man I met was on his way to kill everyone in that house. He might as well have been walking up to get the mail for all that bothered him.
Breathe. What you build, they will burn down.
That much this year?
Haven't had much need of it yet.
Looks like we got ourselves a bad man right here.
We're back. That was the trailer for Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga, chapter one. Come on, that was a good fucking trailer. Fuck you guys.
Excellent trailer.
You guys
that was,
felt all
that
the
feelings. Was a trailer that this movie did not deliver on, because that was a trailer that cut shit from the second movie and put it into the trailer for the first movie.
Just a couple
whole,
of shots.
Oh my god, like half the interesting things. What are you fucking talking about?
Just the one shootout at
just
the very
the one
end.
Shootout.
The yeah. one shootout that establishes Kevin Costner as an actual badass? Yeah, no, that totally wasn't in the fucking movie.
Dude,
so.
He takes out the guy by the water trough and he's
oh,
handling
yeah. one
the situation.
Guy. One guy.
Bro, it's the setup.
We got ourselves a bad man right here.
Yeah.
Come on. You tell
you
me
knew
that
line was going in the trailer.
Do we, though? Do we, though?
Yes, it was going in the trailer. Come on. Yes, Griggs, we know. It was awesome. Come on. You guys got all the feels. You're hyped for it. I feel it. I feel it. You can't even deny it. I see it in your eyes.
I'm hyped for what that trailer said this movie should have been. I'm not
all of that was in
hyped
there.
For what the movie actually was.
Yeah, but do you see how when you cut things out, it makes it better?
So much better.
Because that was a good trailer, yeah.
You have to have
that.
All the things around it to make everything have weight when the things actually happen. You know, like, you talk about not wanting to care about a character. We're giving you time to care about these characters. We're having moments where we get to learn who they are and how they react in situations. Then we put them in situations. And that's how fucking movies work, people! This isn't a music video.
Or a Marvel film, which people complain about all the time. And then here we go. We got something that's not, you know, I don't know. It's not taking shortcuts out the ass and has characters that are just...
Damn, you choked Mike up.
Mike's probably just so pissed right now.
He can't even
see
choking on his
out.
Air. He can't. He's just going to go.
He's like, oh, motherfuckers.
He's down to his wife beater. We're in trouble.
When he's got a mustard stain on it, run.
You think he'd like Westerns with shirts like that?
Speaking of shirts like that, come on, Kristen, at least give me the good fucking good news on the costumes. Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, the costumes were amazing. And actually, I was trying to decide which ones I like the best, but I don't know that I could really pick. I mean, I think if I had to pick, it would be like, I love their use of fur and the pelts that they had.
Mm.
But also, I mean, even just like the simple white shirts that they had looked so nice and everything looked good. Everything looked fantastic. And when you were looking at the Apache and their clothing, it did not feel like costumes, which is like usually the biggest complaint when portraying, especially Native people, but like anyone that you're not necessarily familiar with. But all of these felt very lived in and they all felt very unique to the character. Everyone had something unique to themselves going on. And you did have use of color and you did have use of, you know, you could tell who had access to water and like who did not.
Yeah.
You know, but it's those little details that make everything pop and make the characters believable and make you want to sit and watch this and enjoy it. And all of the costumes, outstanding.
Everything felt very lived in. Like, yeah, I like how you brought up the Apaches because that was the part where I was like, oh, here we get to see the costumes and not
yes.
just like the clothes that these people are wearing, right? Like, but it kind of took me aback because it felt almost documentary level, like a, yeah. Wow, how do they find such an authentic place that these people are living in the way that they are, where everything looks very normal and natural and at peace with the surroundings, but like also their own little spots that they've, you know, established and colonized as just the Native American tribe. Like, I thought that was a really beautiful section.
Well, there were interviews that I listened to with Kevin Costner on this one, and he's a lot like Kubrick in that, he walks into an area and he's like, there needs to be trees right here. And they'll bring in like a 30-foot cottonwood tree and plant it. And so all of those areas that were outside, and they used a lot of available light in this, which is really interesting. But they went in and they crafted these areas, kind of like how in Lord of the Rings they made Hobbiton. Well, they did the same thing here, even just down to the landscaping with massive trees. Very, very, very cool.
Yeah, I think you feel that. Money on screen in most of the shots because that stuff looks really pretty and it looks authentic. There's not really any moments in this where I see something that's on screen that I'm like, oh, that looks like a set, or oh, it looks like they built that like last week and now they're shooting on it. Like everything, all the production design, all of the locations, all of the ways that they establish geography and where these people are actually living, it does feel very real.
That's actually what was very interesting listening to Kevin Costner talk about why you would add a tree. He said, if you're out in a big open field, we need to know the geography of the scene. We need to know where the people are. And if you're in the middle of nothing, You know, you got to have a tree that's on fire, you know, that's lighting the scene, but it's also a point of interest that we know how we know where the characters are. It's really, really cool.
They did a really good job of that pretty much for the most part. There's a couple times where he breaks the line and geography gets a little confusing.
I noticed that on the second viewing that there's a lot of line breaking.
Yeah. There's like some of it I like when he shoots the guy when they're going up the hill to the girl's house, right? And like you got that awesome trough shot, right? But right before that trough shot, the guy's like sitting behind the pig trough or the horse trough or whatever it is. And like Kevin Costner just, they do a 180 break and he just appears on the other side.
Right.
And that is great. That's awesome. But the very beginning of the movie, how many prospectors are at the beginning? In the very
opening
scene.
Let's have this conversation.
Scene.
Okay.
Because there's three graves, right? I could have sworn there were two families. There was a dad and a son on one side of the river, and then on the other side of the river, there was another dad and a son.
Oh, yeah.
So you should have let them talk because you just put that into their brain. And if you wouldn't have said that, they would have just said there was a father and a son, and that was it.
But
because there was definitely a let's cut to the other side of the river and see someone else looking across at some shit. And, like, that was at least one other family. There were two families
sure?
there. 100%.
Dude, I saw it twice. And
are you sure about that 5 minutes? Sorry, I'm going to pull my cousin Vinny on you.
Yeah, well, okay. If for no other reason, who the fuck dug the graves?
Well, we know who dug the graves was the guy who was hanging out on the horse underneath the broken down church where the guy comes up and snatches the thing out of his hand.
He's like,
you done passed the, you know, 5 miles back. I ain't your brother.
You're supposed to be a town. I'm a month or two late. Here they are, like, just fucking decomposing and
fucking dead
in the sun. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just weird. I only remember seeing a father because, like, he puts the stake down on the ground into the anthill, kung, kung, kung. And then he looks through his little thing and he tells his son, move it over, you know? And that's all I remember, the people there. But then, and then even when he comes, he rolls over. You got the one body that has the ants on it. And then he goes over and he rolls that guy over, and then he goes over to the kid, and he does the little sign of the cross on the kid's forehead, and then there's three graves, though. I don't know who the third person is.
All right, so I talked to my wife, and she thinks that there were two adults and a child, and they were all on the same side of the river, the opposite side where the tree was. You know, the tree's where the graves are, right?
Right, which is funny, because later on they say, he's like, what? He's like, we didn't take that as a sign that you're not to be here.
Built on the other side of the river.
Yeah, but the funny thing is where they built is where the other people were killed. It doesn't matter where the graves are. Still.
That side's the cursed side.
That whole area is a cursed area.
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely something going on with the shots there. I need to watch it like a third, fourth time. But, like, yeah, there's something with, like, a line breaking. When we're going across that river and where the shots are taking place, I get confused on how many people are there.
I just think they're showing that other side of the river to show you the tree. They're giving you that shot, so when we bury them under the tree later, then that puts weight on that.
Man, something happened. Like, they did a 180 break and actually moved the camera on the other side, or I don't know. I don't know what they did, but I got I'm totally confused on what happened in the beginning. It is a little, like, I don't know. It does catch you off guard a little, too, because, like, it's just beautiful scenery, amazing music, and you got the credits going over top of it. There's so much on screen to look at, you know? And then you got the Apache kids, like, coming down and being like, oh, yeah, they're playing a game.
Why here? I had a guy do that to me recently. I was doing a car rig test, and this guy came out and was like, what are you guys doing? And I was like, we're testing a car rig for a shoot. And he's like, yeah, but why here? And I was like, because it's a shaded spot, you know, on this road. And he's like, okay, but why here? Basically, he's like, why are you in front of my house? Well, actually, we were behind their houses, but it's a public road, bro. That's why. And we're building right here next to this fucking river because it's everybody's land, bro. It's everybody's
it's not,
land.
No.
This is America.
And then the Apache war party comes out and slaughters all of you, and you're dead.
I'm like, damn it. But you know what? That ain't gonna stop them coming. There's a whole fucking line of them.
I do, yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys.
I love that speech.
The French summary. I wanted to ask if it was the same in America because
I feel
like it's not. But
what French summary?
So the French summary when you go to the cinema here, it says it is in the heart of breathtaking landscapes that the director paints the terrible and merciless creation of America. Is that the correct summary?
Man, I don't know. That sounds good, though. Let's go see that.
was that like on a theater program? Did you get a theater program for this?
Yeah, I mean, no. Like, you go to the theater website and it has okay, the description of the...
God damn it. Yeah. I almost got really jealous there, Chris. I was like, what? Did you get a fucking theater program in France? You better get me one, too, and send it right now, Kristen.
Obviously, I would. But I had been, so that was what I went in thinking about the terrible and merciless creation of America. And so the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, yeah, actually, this is a really terrible way that we started our, like, obviously, you know, it's bad, but like the Western myth is a myth. And it is like, I grew up with, like, you know, Little House on the Prairie and, you know, stuff like that. And so it is romanticized a bit. It's hard. It's a hard life, but it's romanticized a bit. But I've never kind of like looked at it like that. And so I went into this movie with that lens. And the whole time I was like, these people didn't have to do that. Like, what were they fleeing from that was so terrible that they're like, man, I want to like be in a basement breathing through, you know what I mean? Like the pipe, like what's going on here? What are we doing?
Just trying to breathe.
Well,
man.
I think that's why they gave such emphasis to that whole exposition scene with Sam Worthington and his captain general dude, where he's like, those motherfuckers are coming out here regardless of how much they're wanted and no army on earth can stop it. Like, that whole exposition was, yeah. It was a bit long-winded, but that was doing a lot of work for the point of this movie, I think, in terms of, like, the way the filmmakers are thinking about it. Of, like, yeah, this is the drive of the West. Let me just recap it for everyone that's not familiar with it. Like, these people are going to keep coming. Doesn't matter how much they're wanted. This is the expansion.
Yeah.
This is the drive.
Right. And that's the thing, is it's always been... Yes, you always say, let me rephrase that. It's always been presented, at least to me, of like, yeah, the American expansion is like an amazing, wonderful thing, and this is what we're trying to do. And it was so sad for the native tribes that we slaughtered. But they're like two separate things.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's kind of interesting. I think this movie is, maybe with the second, third, and fourth installments, we'll see more integration also, because they also put in the Chinese in this, which are normally left out of.
No, you have to, because they're the ones that built the railroad.
No, I know you have to, but usually there's just one scene of the Chinese building the railroads, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this movie can, in the full 12 hours, can actually tie all of this together and can actually, like, what he's trying to do here is kind of amazing, and I'm kind of into the idea. I hated this, but maybe with the rest of it, he can pull it together. You know, I believe in Kevin Costner.
Yeah, if you could have a Western that spans like all of the different people groups, including the Chinese, like we have a group, we have a family that we're like establishing as characters that we can know and be familiar with, and Marigold gives them the fucking kid, like they might actually become other people that we know and follow. That would be really interesting, because we haven't seen that in most of the Western movies that have Chinese people in them. They're stereotypes,
yeah,
or they're just like a little bit part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or it's Shanghai Noon, and, you know, like,
well, it's riding that line of racism and
yeah,
comedy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
What's right, Ben Barr?
All those movies are great.
Yeah,
that's right.
But I will say,
no, they're not.
Yeah,
what are we?
Yes,
talking
they
about?
Are.
Did you just say the Jackie Chan fucking? Oh my god.
Owen Wilson, yeah, man.
No, the night movies.
Yes,
are not
yes.
Good.
Shanghai Nights. Come on.
I don't even remember what the second one was called.
Shanghai
I think
Noon?
It was Shanghai Noon.
Yeah, Shanghai Noon. Shanghai.
Oh, Shanghai Noon is the first one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Shanghai Nights.
Because every
is the
other
second one.
Every other.
Oh. All right. Okay.
Kung Fu in the Old West. I'm already infinitely more intrigued.
No. What? I'd rather watch Blazing Saddles. If you're gonna make me laugh with a Western, are you gonna do something stupid like?
Why
that?
Not?
Yeah. Let's
worse than Blazing Saddles.
Let's do Silverado. That's another good, you know, fun Western. Watch that one.
What was that one that we watched? I think Brian, you're the. I liked it, but I think Brian, you're the only other one who liked it. Where like nothing happens and it's so quiet and still, but I loved it.
You're gonna have to get
movie
more specific.
Where nothing happens.
That's a lot of movies.
You're gonna have to get way
no,
more
like
specific.
She goes in and like there's a close up of like sweat dripping down his face. She goes into the
bar.
Oh,
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Okay, I like that a lot.
Oh,
I was
yeah,
about
right.
That
lots of long lens close ups, and they stand around for a while, and everything
yeah,
looks
like,
pretty, but nothing happens.
Yeah, they could have done that in this movie, and I would have liked it better. Like, let's just cut out the dialogue, you know? No.
Yeah, let's just have, like, close-ups of staring at eyes, being like, why?
That would have been better, yeah.
Way better.
Better than talking. In
That's not what this is trying to... This is trying to be like a Howard Hawks, John Ford Western, not...
yeah, I know. Yeah. Maybe that was a problem. Maybe that's the problem.
Whatever. You guys, you better watch it. I'm going to make you fuckers watch Red River and fuck... Oh, my God. Rio Bravo. You're going to have to watch all of them. I'm just going to sit down. We're going to have a fucking John Wayne fucking month.
Oh, no.
No.
Even I'm scared of that one.
You know, I'm telling you, some of those are good. I love the Howard Hawks ones.
Oh, man.
I watched one John Wayne movie, and it was terrible. Oh, no, wait, maybe it was Clint Eastwood. I can't really... I don't know. Never mind.
Those are different people.
Maybe it was,
no, they're
maybe
not.
It was Clint Eastwood. I hated it so much.
Clint Eastwood is your dad's, like, you know, it would be your dad's cowboy, and John Wayne is your grandfather's cowboy. Let's put that in perspective.
Okay, well, if we're going to do that, then I'd rather watch John Wayne. Yeah, actually, watching this, I was kind of, I mentioned this before, but I was like, maybe I'm just not, like, the audience for this movie, like, maybe my grandfather would have enjoyed it, but then there's, like, so much violence, and I was like, no, he would have hated this movie, too.
I was the youngest person in my theater when I went to see this.
Which is crazy, because we're, you know, we're old now.
By a significant margin, I was the youngest person in my theater. Like, probably half. Like,
I was so, like, in a theater with nothing but old people with white hair that about an hour in, they all started going for their pee breaks. And it was the same people in and out, in and out, in and out. And I was like, this is insane. And I was really proud of myself. I watched it twice and had no problem.
Well, that's great. You know, but also movies did used to have intermissions. And, like, you could get up and, like, walk around and get food or go to the bathroom or whatever. This movie could have done that, too.
This movie could have been like, the next 10 minutes is actually nothing happening. It's just really pretty
Mike,
footage.
God damn it.
Yeah, if you want to get up and walk around, now's the time.
Okay, so if you want to, like, start throwing out scenes that you thought had nothing going on, and then we'll explain to you why they were important.
Explain to me why they're important. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. I need a mansplain
this
movie to you.
In the course of a fucking, like, 12-hour epic with four goddamn parts, some of the parts. Of-
yeah.
Oh
my this God. Is our mansplain minute.
Oh my God.
Welcome to Mansplain Minute with Jared.
We do man on man.
All right, sit down for a minute. I got to talk to you.
Let me talk right into your ear holes there.
Our mansplaining is so toxic and so manly. Women, their heads would explode if they heard it.
Oh, no. Kristen, take your headphones off.
It's time for Mansplain Minute.
Let's do your thing.
Oh my God.
It's okay. Kristen's been vaccinated. It's like the snake poison. You know, she's just built up a tolerance over the years.
I work in the film industry.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she's a,
yeah,
she's
no
a woman. Has a tolerance for mansplain.
Fucking ridiculous. Thank you,
okay,
Kevin.
Okay, all right. Like, real talk. I don't think that there's like whole swaths of this movie that, like, just need to get cut out. I just think that this movie is a really good example of over self-indulgent like filmmaking. Like, so much of this movie is just because he can. Like, because we have these locations, because we have this fucking great costume design and production design. Let's use all of these shots to have all of this time on screen. Is it all pretty? Yes. Is it all beautiful? Sure. Does it actually matter to the moving of the movie forward? Not
That's
necessarily.
Not his point, though. If you listen to him talk, he even says, my first cut of Dances with Wolves is 5.5 hours long. And
I'm
we
sure
struggled to get
yeah,
that down.
Christ.
Kevin Costner is the problem. Yes, that's
yeah.
Yes.
No, no.
Yes.
He says my movies are long, and it's just how I am. You know, you know,
because he likes to see himself just sit on screen and do nothing.
But he was barely in this, though. Come on, that's not fair. In this 3-hour runtime, he's in like maybe what 35-40 minutes
Which
of the movie.
I do think is a negative. I think
I'll
this movie
could
have been better if he was. If he wasn't even introduced until over an hour into it.
It was like an hour and a half. It was
I
at least
half.
No,
like
it was an hour, Mark.
It was an hour.
Yeah. Was it? Jesus Christ.
I was like, am I in the wrong movie? I thought this was about Kevin Costner. Like, where is there another Western that's out right now?
Wait, did I go to the wrong Western?
Say it again.
Am I in the right screen?
Wait. This isn't like 50 years ago. No, don't worry. This is the only Western.
This is the only
Western. No, because they do play
right
old
now
movies here. And so like in the theater, oh, that I was like, wait a minute.
I don't even, I don't know what to say to these people, Jared. Clearly, they just
guys,
fucking
how about
don't
that kid who jumped on the horse and takes another horse with him, and he starts beating that one horse in the back of the head to make it go quicker and quicker, and then he wears that horse out, jumps on the other one, and gets away? And
That was one of the greatest like sequences in the whole fucking movie.
And it's also shot day for night and looks incredible.
It was. It looked great. Like the horse work was cool. Like the kid grabbing an extra horse. Like I was like, that motherfucker is going to ride this horse until he's ragged, and then he's going to jump on the other one. And he fucking did. Like that was a great moment. That was good filmmaking. That was good scene building. Like that was good tension. Where was that kind of shit in the rest of this fucking movie?
I don't know. It was like all over it.
Where was?
Did you fall asleep?
But that was a character who had like very clear motivations, very clear things happening. So much of this movie was just like,
dude, his
I'm just going to put some people in front of you, and you're just going to have to sit with them.
His little arc where he goes through and then you know, basically he's all geared up. I'm going to go get the engines. And then, you know, he actually sees them as people there at the end a little bit. What have I done? And has a little collapse moment. That's great.
I think the problem with this movie is that you have all of the little setup scenes that you would normally get in the first like 10, 15 minutes over 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's maybe the problem with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fucking it. That's it right there. No, that's my problem. This is an opening act to one movie. This is a 30 minute.
It's a one book, basically.
No, this is 30 minutes stretched into 3 fucking hours. That's why I was bored. Yeah. I wanted this movie in 30 minutes. Yeah. And then I wanted what the second movie is apparently supposed to be based on that last 5 minutes of this movie telling me what the second movie is going to be. I wanted that for the next hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me 45 minutes of this movie and then an hour and a half of the second movie, and that would be fucking interesting and cool. This is just like set up for 3 fucking hours. Like nothing
it's
goes
like a
anywhere.
Novel
nothing
instead of like a film. You know, it's got all the stuff. When you read a book and there's all these extra scenes and all the stuff that's going on, character stuff. That's what this is.
As someone who enjoys reading, that is not what this is. This is something else.
It says chapter one, Kristen.
Yeah, chapter okay, one. That's the
fuck
point.
You.
A chapter is, it can be anywhere from like 2 to however many pages. It's not a 3-hour movie. Chapter one is not an entire book and you have to wait for the next book. Chapter one is a chapter and then you're supposed to get to the next
whatever
chapter.
This is like less than 200 fucking pages of a fucking novel. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah, so you do have novels that can be like 1,000 pages, but they're still all there that you can sit and consume at your leisure, not just read like the first part of the book and then be like, let me
I think that's why they were trying to release
months
these so quickly, you know, because it's get on to the next one so
that's
we can
fair
watch it.
That's fair.
That's kind of the whole point of this thing is you're watching it in pieces as it goes to get the entire story.
It's a pacing thing, though, because every story, if you're going to have it be a self-contained, single-unit thing, like this is meant to be consumed as one piece, it needs a fucking arc. It needs a beginning, a middle, and an end. This movie is just a fucking beginning, barely. And it doesn't go anywhere. There are a few characters that actually have progression. The reason why you like the kid with the 2 fucking horses is because he has an actual progression. Tell me one other character that has a progression and an arc like that fucking kid does. Tell me one other character.
If we took that same complaint and applied it to the first Star Wars movie, which doesn't have an end, the Empire is still out there. Like, what are we talking about here? Let's back this down just a little bit. I think we're getting a little too carried away.
What do you mean, what are you talking about? Every character in that movie has an arc. They have a place where they start from, a thing that they need to do, and then a place where they end up.
Every character in this movie has an arc of sorts. It's not 100% finished, but it is there. Every single person. The groundwork is at least laid down. Like, you can even see how Luke Wilson, from his very first scene to his last scene, is starting to change. Like, again,
he
like
just
we
seems
said,
tired. I mean,
14-hour days. Kristen.
Oh, Jesus,
I wouldn't call that a change.
And we're going to do another 14 tomorrow.
So if you want to stay up, good luck. Welcome to Film World.
I think that was just the crew meeting that they rolled.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, I have had that crew meeting. I have been with those people. They've been like, you guys want to party after this? And I'm like, we have another day after this. Like, no.
Yeah, no. But there's cocaine, Mike. There's cocaine.
I have heard that guy standing up and giving that speech. If you want to have this day, you can. But there's another one after this.
No shit. Yeah.
I would say the only person that probably doesn't have an arc is Kevin Costner's character. He literally, we're meeting him. He's doing something. And when we leave him, he's just being
still
chased.
The same.
Yeah. He's not. He's the one that probably, I will bet, over the course of the movie, that doesn't change. I may be wrong. That may change later in the sequels. But I think everybody else is, like, they're on a very strong progression. Like, Sienna Miller and Sam Worthington, like, that is very clear change in them. They go through fucking huge trauma. Even, like, Michael Rooker's moments. Like,
I liked him, actually.
Yeah, he's great. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just all that stuff was good.
I guess in terms of story, I you can tell, for example, Sienna Miller's character. Like, you can, there's, I would hate to call that an arc, though, because you can see how she's gearing up to be somebody.
Mm.
This is, again, it's just setting up, hopefully, setting up the next several movies. Just what happened to her. Like, she's a great actress. And it is interesting, but I would not necessarily call that an arc. It just creates, this is a really bad mix of movies and TV. I get what they're trying to do and to set it up so that you're like, oh, I want to see the next episode. But they did it in movie form and it doesn't work, actually. It does not work at all.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't work. Maybe if they were all out and I could watch it like a TV show. Or if you were to even split this up and split it up into a bunch of, like, a couple of episodes, like 30 minutes, an hour, 3 to 6 episodes. It could be more interesting. It could be more compelling.
I feel like this movie is failing under its own weight. Like, whatever structure this story needed to be, this movie is not it. And, like, maybe some of the characters are really interesting, and maybe some of the characterizations are going somewhere over the course of 4 fucking 3-hour movies. Jesus Christ. But what this movie is, as a standalone entity by itself, doesn't work.
I will say that I think, just based on this and what I've seen here, Kevin Costner has amazing ideas. He is an artist, not a good actor. Great artist, though. And he's, like the fact that he came up with all of this and was able to execute all of this kind of on his own, because he did a lot of the funding for this. That is absolutely amazing.
$38 million.
What every good artist needs, regardless of your medium, is a good editor, is someone who can sit here and say, hey, I know this is a really good idea and you are brilliant and amazing, but, like, also this, it's just not, it's too much. It's not working. And that's not to say this is bad. That's not to say this doesn't have potential. That's not to say there's nothing. Like, again, I think there's so much here that with just some tweaking, even if the tweaking is releasing all 4 at once, there's something here. But it doesn't work as it is. As a standalone movie, it doesn't work. And I would say the same thing about Star Wars, except I haven't seen it. So no, it doesn't.
I cannot believe that.
So no, but based on all of the times that I hate standalone movies that are part of a series, I would say the same thing about Star Wars. No, it doesn't work for me. I hate it. The concept, not necessarily this movie, although I did not enjoy this movie, but the concept I hate.
I cannot believe all the fucking motherfuckers that watch these TV shows that are on this podcast right now that are giving this movie shit.
It's, again, I think it's the structure. I think there's a mental energy that you go into a limited 8-episode series with, knowing that this is going to be an 8-episode arc. You're going to have an hour episode here, an hour and a half episode there, and a couple 2-hour episodes. Each one of those is going to be kind of self-contained stories that move the story along, and you understand the pacing and the progress. This is 3 hours. It's just like,
all right, can I stop?
Where the fuck are we going? Yeah, please tell me why I'm wrong, Brian.
Let me tell you what. My wife loves Mad Men, all right? I have watched 5 seasons of Mad Men. I'm not watching anymore because that show is fucking pointless. How you guys are talking about this movie is how I feel about Mad Men, all right? That show just goes on. And it's the same shit over and over, and I am bored after 5 episodes. Fucking bored out of my goddamn mind. Because it's the same shit. Oh, we're advertising. We're fucking around. We're advertising. We're drinking. We're smoking. We're fucking around on our wives. Okay, I get it. I got it. Do something else. And motherfuckers watched how many fucking hours of that shit on TV? You can't do 3 hours of a Western.
That's what I'm saying. Turn this into a TV show, and I would probably love it. As a movie, I hate it.
That breaks my brain. I'm sorry. I'm just having a really hard time with this. I'm having a hard time understanding where you guys are coming from here.
It's the formatting. I can't. It doesn't work. And the TV, you're right. You're right.
Because TV shows even end on like cliffhangers on a season. So you're used to not having a story wrap up. That's where I'm so confused.
I don't like that either. I'm sorry. Do I enjoy that? No.
Well, then why do you watch TV?
I wait till they're all out and then I watch them.
So you wait till an entire show is done with its entire run. And then
yeah,
you
it
sit
has
down.
To have multiple
I'm gonna enjoy
seasons
Lost
before
in 10
I
years.
I will sit down. Yeah, I didn't watch Lost until there were 4 seasons already out that I could consume all at once.
I mean, like, yeah, what you guys are talking about, like, how does anybody enjoy television? Those are always unfinished stories. Unless it's completely wrapped up. It's never finished. Some piece is always hanging. Otherwise, if it was...
Especially if you're watching Westworld.
If it was finished, why would you come back and watch the next season? You wouldn't.
Right? Because it's different. It's not just that it's not finished. It's that a thing has wrapped up and gotten resolution, and then more has been introduced that has gotten you questioning the next thing. There's always a question left open that makes you want more, but it still answers the question from the last time. This has no questions. This has no driving forward of like what's going on. Why do I care about these people? It's just things kind of slowly happening in front of us. If you're walking through a field for 3 hours, that is a very similar experience to watching this movie. You're going to see some pretty things. You might see some sunlight through the trees on the grass. There's probably a hillside, maybe a lake. Like it's a lovely little walk. That's about all it is.
I think the difference, if I'm going to, I can add to that also, is the difference between a TV season and this movie is that they should wrap up the season. And then the second season is a continuation and you get a new plot, a new mm-hmm. question, a new something mm-hmm. that they should also conclude at the end of that season. Each season should have something new and has progressed. And here, this is just setting it up, and there's no conclusion. I don't even know what the plot is in some of the stories.
Come on, you know what the plots are in
all
the
stories.
What are
you talking about?
Is that all it is, then? It's the bad writing, then.
It's literally called Horizon, an American Saga. It is about motherfuckers
Chapter one.
Going to the West.
Okay, and I will say, I have read books that are sagas that span multiple generations, okay, that are over 1,000 pages, and you have to, like, at the beginning, like, there's all these, like, maps and all of these, like, so you can keep everything straight, you know where they're traveling to, you know, you have all of this, but again, it's all right there.
You don't need a map. You live in America. No. Well, not right now, you don't, but you from here, girl. You know where the West is.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. But
so are you saying that this story is actually failing by some setup? It just needed a little bit of like 3-paragraph exposition at the front of this, like in this part of the time in American history, blah, blah, blah. Like, so you have some context for what's going on?
I think her French brain doesn't really comprehend the American West and need a prologue.
She got a summary, god damn
no.
it. What else?
No. I am not suggesting a prologue. So no. So if you read a novel that is a saga, it's not a prologue at the beginning, it's not a summary at the beginning.
It's like Lord of the Rings. Haven't you ever seen
all the appendices and all the maps and shit?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you get everything to keep everything straight because there's so many characters, there's so many usually generations. I don't know what they're doing in this. Yeah, there's something to keep everything straight. Whereas that was one of my complaints is that there's so many characters in this. Am I supposed to care about all of them? I think the answer is yes, and I just don't.
No,
and I don't know how they're related to anybody else. And I don't mean like familially. I mean,
watching it a couple
here?
Times, I've gotten everything. I think as far as all the characters, it didn't seem like it's that much really.
Yeah, guys, this is nothing like a fucking goddamn Game of Thrones episode where I come back.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you can't remember anybody in Game of Thrones.
To be fair, I had the same complaint about Game of Thrones. At some point, I was like, there's too many characters. I don't care about half these people. Like, why am I watching
At least they
this?
Die quickly.
Yeah, okay, fair. Until all of a sudden they didn't. No, there's like some point, like what, season 4 or something? Where they stop dying and like they just keep living. And I'm like, why are there so many people on
Why
screen?
Are they all still alive? I'm confused.
We need to kill some more of these people off.
Like, I've seen this guy like 7 different episodes. What's happening?
No, because at some point they split up the characters. And so half the characters were in one episode. And the next, like you had to watch every other character or every other episode to like follow the character. And I was like, what are you doing?
Wow.
Just kill some people. Like, come on.
Structure is part of story. People, come on. Like, how is this a difficult concept? You can play with structure and you can play with concepts that are like tropes that you want to subvert. But at some point, you have to realize that either you're using shortcuts that you have to actually fulfill or you need to go somewhere with the things that you're trying to change.
But the problem with something like Game of Thrones or maybe even this is that you have so many things going on that you need to kind of live in that area for a little while. And you think that this moves quickly, but each of these scenes are 15, 20 minutes with these characters every single time.
That's what I'm saying.
It's
they're
not
moving
like we're cutting
slowly.
Super fast.
They're moving too slowly for each individual scene, but they're moving too fast for the story as a whole. Like for that doesn't make sense. There's too many characters. Like I went through and thought through it. Like there's like 16 characters that I can think of just off the top of my head of like people that are major characters that you're like, I'm supposed to follow this person and remember who they are. That is a lot of characters. There's a lot of story to build in 3 hours. That is why this movie falls under its own weight, because there's not enough time to go anywhere with all the people that are on screen, but there's too much time to do anything that is actually interesting because there's too many people on screen. It's confusing, and
TV shows have kind of mastered how to introduce a bunch of characters who are doing different things all at once.
What?
In movies, yeah, they have.
No, they haven't. You go back and watch TV. Anytime they have a scene with a bunch of people in a room, all it is fucking close-ups. And 9 times out of 10, it's clean close-ups where it's not even dirty, where you can see the other person they're fucking talking to. You can't even see over their shoulders.
I didn't say it was, like, beautiful. I meant, like the way they're introducing.
No, I'm saying it's chaotic. I'm saying you can't even – you don't even realize when a character walks into – like NCIS, when a character walks into a room and they start talking to somebody else, you have no fucking idea where those other people are in relation to the character that just walked through the fucking door. If you stop and think about it and look around that room, no fucking idea. No, that's TV, period. Unless it's like big. It would have to be like Game of Thrones level,
yes,
Breaking Bad.
I was
Bad,
talking like Game of
like
Thrones
that.
Breaking. Yes, I was referring to like quality TV shows. Thank you for clarifying, Brian.
Oh, okay. Those 2 or 3 TV shows out there.
No, I was referring to like well done quality TV shows. There's a setup. There's a way to do it. Just like movies, there's a setup. There's a way to do it. And I think it's actually really interesting that Kevin Costner had this thought of like, why don't we merge the two and create something new? I don't like it.
He's been doing that one TV show for a while now.
Oh,
so
Yellowstone, but he
left. He has had this idea since the 80s.
Yeah, he wrote this in the 80s. Isn't that crazy?
We should have clearly reviewed How the West Was Won before this movie, because this story, just like this, and Chapman are like, yeah, this
is it.
Yeah, this has been done before by John Ford.
Really?
Yes. This whole fucking
movie.
Wait,
then why is everyone talking about this? Like, this is like some amazing.
Because that movie was released in the 50s, and everybody, you know, that went to go see it when they came out, they're either dead or really too old. They have dementia. They don't know anymore. And young kids.
They still went to this movie, though. I saw them in my
thing. That's true.
And, yeah, they were there.
And most young kids today, they don't give a fuck about Westerns at all whatsoever. Like, obviously, based off of our audience,
based off of the budget numbers that are coming in. Box office.
That's just because motherfuckers are out there going, it's like TV, bro. It's so bad. And they didn't even fucking watch it. Come on, man.
I would actually like to take a minute and talk about the box office just for a second. Because I thought this weekend, Fly Me to the Moon opened up, right? Stars Channing Tatum, right? Who's the Johansson? Scarlett Johansson, right? Probably way bigger actors than Kevin Costner is currently today, right? That movie actually opened up with $1 million less its opening weekend than Horizon did.
And everybody is everybody's saying that, Horizon's like this terrible fucking movie. Nobody wants to see Westerns. How about maybe fucking Americans don't want to see adult dramas in the theater anymore?
But also, that's very likely. But also, aren't movie sales down as a whole over the entire summer?
They were until fucking the kids movies came out. And then Inside Out 2 is on its way to like $600+ million.
Jesus.
And
the Minion movie, or the Despicable Me movie.
Yeah, that opened up huge. With over 144.
My kids were like, my friends called it mid. I'm not going to see it.
Right?
Let's go see A Quiet Place instead. Like, oh, okay.
And then
this is fair to compare to the children's movies. Like, other adult movies are not doing well, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So, yeah, and even like the adult films, the rated R movie that did break out this year was Bad Boys, which we could all say that's, more for teenagers and young adults, that want to go have brainless, fun comedy action. Which is fine, but everybody's like saying, the Horizon's taken. Oh, nobody wants to see Westerns. Nobody gives a fuck about Kevin Costner. And it's like, I don't know if that's the narrative here, man, because you can't say that when you've had a summer that's released Fall Guy with fucking Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt that were in two of the fucking biggest movies last year, come out and not make $100 million. Like, how does that happen? Should be a no brainer, right?
I don't think the narrative is correct. I think there is an audience for this, and I think Kevin Costner... I don't know. I know people are saying that it's bombing, but I don't think it is, and I know I have spent a lot of time complaining about it. But I think there's... I am interested enough to see what the second movie does, and that's how I will, I guess, determine. Because this is very unfinished to me. But that being said, I don't think this is necessarily a failure. I do think that... people just aren't going right now to the theaters. I think if this was released on streaming, it would have an audience. Because isn't that where people are watching Yellowstone? Is on streaming?
Yes. Fuck yes. You're right. You're right.
Probably, yeah.
I think if it was streaming.
I mean, that is what they are saying about the pushing of the second one, the release date back, is they want more time for audiences to discover this movie. It's going to be released on video on demand like this week or next week or something like that. So they're going to get some money from that. And then it will be streaming in a couple weeks after or something like that. So there's time for people to actually watch this and be like, oh shit, no, like that was actually interesting. And I want to see what's going to happen after this. And you know what? Fucking count me in amongst them, because this movie was not satisfying as a singular experience. I want to know where he's going to go with the second one. It's already shot. It's already fucking finished post-production. Like, I want to see what that one does in order to make this one feel better based on how the two of them work together.
I agree. I'm
sure a lot of other people feel the same way.
Like, if they were both released onto streaming at the same time, I would like, without a question, sit and watch both of them. Which is actually very unfortunate, because this is so beautiful and it deserves to be on the big screen. Like, that's the best way to watch this, I think. But I don't know that people are really doing that anymore. Like, it's just so much easier and more convenient to watch movies at home.
Shut your fucking mouth. That's not the message we're trying to send people.
No, but I'm sorry, but it is. How do you fix that? How do you fix that? That's what needs to be fixed.
You make a movie not three hours in the theater.
It's its own thing. It's supposed to be epic fucking film watching, you know, just tuck in. You bring a blanket, fucking pull the beer out of your fucking pocket, sit back.
You know what
this
you could do it. I don't think. No, there was in New York they would do a weekend where they would play all of, I don't know, like the Oscar nominees or something. It wasn't, but something like that. And so it was like 2 p.m, but also at like 3 a.m, and you just had to look in. It was like an event, and you would go the entire weekend and go home to sleep and come back. You know, like you could do that with this movie. Maybe that you could get a younger crowd. I don't think the old crowd could do that, but like younger people could get them excited for this by making it an event. You know,
you could get ride your horse to the theater.
Oh my god, that would be fun. I would do that. Can you rent a horse?
Take a horse ride at the theater.
There you go.
Oh my god, and
like the big Barbie box. Instead, there's a fucking horse that you take
exactly
photos with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no, I just got one of those little mall quarter slot rides.
Exactly.
Got that in my head. You're like Kevin Costner's on the horse in front of you, and you're riding. You have to wrap your arms around Kevin Costner.
You got to look around that big hat.
there's a non-Kevin Costner horse and a Kevin Costner horse for a little bit more money, just to see which one gets extra.
I want to ride behind Kevin Costner and shoot him. I'm going to be the bad.
I listened to an interview with Kevin Costner at Cannes and doing a little thing, and he had a little drunken kind of interview afterwards, and he was basically like, "Look, I need fucking money for this third one. Where are you rich motherfuckers at?" He's like, "I'm serious. Anybody want to throw down?" he's out there begging to get it made.
Well, I find it interesting that like he apparently was known for having put about $20 million in, and then I've seen quotes where he's like, no, motherfuckers, the actual number.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw 38.
He's known for always, he puts money into a lot of films. He's always done that.
Which, you know what? Like, if you're an actor who's made a fuck ton of money, like, I have a large amount of respect for, like, I put my own money in this because I believe in it.
Didn't he?
I'm standing behind it. I love that.
Didn't he mortgage his house to make this movie?
Not his house, his ranch.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Name.
His fucking ranch. He's got horses and cattle. All that shit.
That's where they filmed it. They're like, we're on a budget today. Come on over, guys.
I think the only reason he keeps putting his kids in movies is because he's like, look, there's not going to be any of my money left. You guys need to make your own money. The best thing I can do for you is to fucking put you in this, and maybe you can do your own acting.
Actually,
because
really
I'm going to spend all my shit.
Yeah.
They used to get residuals and stuff. Like, that's actually a smart idea.
Speaking about the budget, I couldn't actually find an official number on the budget.
100 million.
That's
the number I've seen. I don't know how official.
All right. So, like, if you check Deadline and Hollywood Reporter, they say each installment is $50 million each. All right. Variety said they're $100 million each. All right. You go look up this fucking thing on Wikipedia, and it says $50 million to $100 million. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Nobody knows.
That means
nobody knows.
Sources said one number and one other number. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody.
Maybe
confused.
It's $50 million of production actual like budget, and then there's another $50 million worth of like marketing. That's pretty normal, I would say.
Well, reading that like $38 million number, like I was reading an article where it said like Kevin Costner was on the hook for production costs and marketing costs. The studio were floating everything else, which is what prints, fees and distribution, like. What is that? That is fucking maybe 5-10 million. Nothing.
Yeah, that's like a small percentage. Just wow. So you're on the hook for paying for all the shit, and then we'll make sure that it actually gets out so people can see it. Cool. Thanks.
That's
good partnership.
Standard though.
I'm sure he's got a really nice back end percentage.
I'm sure. Yes, as both a star and the director and the writer, and he probably has a producer credit shit in there too.
Oh, I bet you he fucking owns this movie, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
actually, yeah, that's a really good, yeah.
Because that Territory, what was it? What's the logo at the front? Territory Pictures or?
Yeah, his production company is the one that's behind it, which it kind of would have to be. If he's putting his own money into it, he has to create an entity in order for that to like work. That's how that happens. Yeah, you can't just be like, I gave myself $38 million and now we're spending it like that.
Does anybody have anything else, or are we going to go? Oh, you know what? Fuck, I got something else. We didn't even talk about goddamn Jeff Fahey, the best part of the whole fucking movie. I loved Jeff Fahey. He was a fucking goddamn amazing godsend. I cannot wait for him and Kevin Costner to go head-to-head and get into a gun battle. If they don't, I'm going to cry. You guys like Jeff Fahey? You guys Jeff Fahey fans?
I'm sorry, which character is that?
Jeff Fahey is the big bearded silver fox motherfucker, just looking sexy. He's crazy. He's the guy that wants to go in and scalp all the Indians and sell their scalps regardless of what fucking tribe they are in or, you know, whatever else.
Do
he's
they
the guy
have
from
to be
Lost.
Your Indians or do they just have to be Indians? I mean,
he's the airplane pilot from Lost, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing that back around.
Dude, did you just bring up Jeff Fahey and refer to him as some fucker on Lost? That's
fucking
Jeff Fahey, all right? He has acted with Clint Eastwood, sir. He is a man among giants. Or giant among men. There we go. That's how that saying goes.
Oh, my God. He was Frank Lapidus in Lost?
Yes. There you go.
You guys are all
he
dead
did
to
still,
me.
No.
All of you are dead. You know what? This podcast is over. This is done. This was the last episode. This is the straw that broke
the camel's back. No. Brian, did you
sorry,
think
that
the score sounded
perfectly right there? I'm sorry, Brian. What did you say about the score?
I was going to wonder if Brian heard a lot of Titanic in this score.
It was like almost Titanic.
I kept waiting for it to go into it, and then it stopped, and I was like, oh, look at that.
All the choir-y stuff is straight Titanic.
There's a lot of it's the hymns that, like, the overarching theme on this was like a fucking hymn. Like the old wooden cross, I think, was the motif that kept coming back that I heard.
Okay, maybe that's why.
They played Amazing Grace a couple times.
Heard that one too.
That's how they did the, on the next season
yes.
of Horizon. This fucking Amazing Grace.
Next time on Horizon. Wait, what the fuck is happening? Why are we just montaging all of a sudden?
That did throw me off first time seeing the movie.
It's jarring.
Yeah. It's very, very abrupt. There's no transition. There's no, like, clear, hey, this is what's going on. It just, like, all of a sudden decides that it wants to completely change the editing pace.
Pretty interesting, though.
You know, I was on board with it when I saw it the second time. I was like, all right, you know what? I appreciate that.
I mean, I was 15 seconds in before I realized that it was
what was happening?
The next movie. I was like, oh my God, it just got interesting. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, I knew it was going to happen. I really liked it because otherwise, if it, like usually these movies, they just end and you're just like, what the fuck? No, but this one, you're like, oh, here's a little preview, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I guess stuff. Okay.
Well, you haven't seen it, but the first Lord of the Rings kind of ends like that. Yeah, they're just like, all right, we're gonna walk away.
Oh, like, yeah, there's a lot of them that end like that. They just like stop the movie, and you're like, what?
That's how Dune Part Two ended. Hey, we're gonna go to war with the entire galaxy. Roll credits.
Credits.
I didn't hear anybody complaining about Dune Part 2. I saw a bunch of tins on that fucking goddamn... Whoa,
blah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't be here to rate it poorly.
I did miss you that episode. Your absence was noted and felt.
I thought you guys would have enjoyed, like, loving the movie.
No.
Positively.
We were all kind of like
a little bit more conflict. Like, it was really great, right? And we're like, yeah.
And I'm sitting over here like, it wasn't the first one, guys. And they're like, no, it's great. It's fine. Shut up. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I needed Kristen in my corner.
Sorry.
Thought my homie had my back. Turns out, no. All right. Are we at ratings now? Goddamn.
Sure.
All right. Who's going first? Who is rating Horizon? An American Saga Chapter 1.
Should I set ourselves low so that you guys can bring it back up and everyone can think that's an actually good movie? All right. I'm gonna say all the things that are just going to get disproven by your statements. This movie is a 7. It is solidly beautiful.
You just rated this a 7? Go fuck yourself after that whole fucking bullshit that you just... Come on. Give us your real rating, Griggs. How you really feel.
You can't even say, I'm going to start us off low.
Don't smack me in the face, okay? I don't want your sympathy rating, Griggs.
You're gaslighting us, bro.
Roll back your toxic gaslighting, Max.
Listen,
suit.
I wasn't going to rate it that low, but if you're starting out at a 7, I can go low. Come on.
No.
Kristen, hold the ball. We haven't gotten to you yet. Calm down.
We haven't gotten there yet. No, all right. Let me talk it through, and then I'll see if I need to go lower. This movie, the production value is fucking amazing in this movie. Like, I will give it that. Like, there are many shots in this that I was like, wow, that's really pretty. That's really beautiful. Oh, I like where they put the camera on this. I like how they've put the characters in the space. I like the geography. I like the way that they use light in this movie. There's a lot of really, really pretty things to look at in this film. I just don't give a fuck about anything that's happening to any of the people that are in it. And there's a lot of people in this movie. It's too long. It fails under its own weight. It wants to be more than it is. Maybe what it is the first part of a 4-movie epic series that needs to be seen all in one fucking sitting or over to the course of 2 or 3 days or something like that. As a single standalone entity, this movie collapses under its own weight. I think Kevin Costner has a lot of ambition. I like what he wants to do with characters. I like the way that he looks at the time period and says, these are the things that are happening and these are the ways that those things need to happen. I just think he takes way too much time to make all those things happen. I think he needs, for the sake of this movie, if this movie had been like 2:15, 2:30, it would have been moving faster. I would have gotten from one character to another to character to another character, and we would have seen a little bit more arc and progression, and things might have moved a little bit faster. Instead, I was like, oh, wow, look at that flower. Oh, wow, look at that light beam. Oh, wow, look at that, like, costume thing that's interesting. Like, I just... It's too slow. It's too slow for anything to actually move forward in a way that actually makes sense with these characters for me to fucking care. Maybe if I watch it again in the context of watching the second or the third one, I will like it more. But it's fucking boring. You guys are going to have more things to say about it. Was it worth seeing in the theater? Sure. Yes. Because I settled in and said, I'm just going to experience this and let it wash over me. Maybe I'll start to care about something. Nope, that never happened. I got nothing else. It's a 7. Fuck, no. It's not. It's a 6.5. The music is fine. There's too many hymns. I didn't like the way that it was actually all just like there's two hymns that are like recurring motifs. That just felt a little too heavy-handed when they were doing that things. The rest of it felt a little recycled and familiar. Not always in a bad way, but not in a new and progressive kind of like, let's see something different. It's a 6.5. It's mid at best.
Well, he went 6.5. Who's going next? Christian? Okay. Jared? All right. Okay.
Yeah. Look, there's some good here. And it's visually absolutely stunning. Like the landscape, like you can see that this is supposed to be an epic saga of America. Like this is amazing. But there's something off about it and it doesn't work. And it could be that it's not completed because it's not. But how long will it take to complete? Like this, it's, I don't feel like this stands on its own. And I think that's the biggest problem for me. And
yeah.
Because it doesn't stand on its own in the story, that means you have to care about the characters. And I really don't. With like maybe one or two exceptions, but there's a huge cast. And so there's a lot of stuff on here that I do not care about. And that's why I say a lot, like, if you mute it, you can get the best parts of this movie because there's some amazing parts. I think what Clint Eastwood, what's his name? Kevin Costner is trying to do here is amazing. I think, you know, like the fact that he has the opportunity and the money to make some movie that's been his passion project for, what, over 30 years is... amazing. I think that's so cool that he gets to do this. I do wish that he had maybe somebody next to him to just kind of rein him in just a tiny bit. But you know what? Even if you don't, if you have the money, do it. Like, do it. That's, I don't know. I think that's really cool. But yeah, it doesn't work for me. So I'm going to go low until I see the second movie, subject to change, I guess. I'll give it a 6. I think that's generous. I think it's generous, considering that I don't care about these people.
Kristen, I just want to say that's an extremely well-articulated point of it's so long that we need to care about the characters. No, yeah. I just don't. Yeah.
You didn't care about any of those people, the settlers getting attacked or any of that stuff? No. Didn't care? No, all right.
I cared about Sienna Miller and her daughter. Like, really, that's it. And every time they were on screen, I was like, oh, what's happening? Every other time, I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
I know the story. I know what happens. You have to tell me something different. You have to present it differently. I know the story of the American West. It has been told so many times. What are you doing differently about this?
Name a movie that has been shown the American frontier, like where you have characters that you think are good guys that are bad guys, and characters that are bad guys that have shown more, just a little bit. I mean, like outside of just Westerns are known, guys, for like the good guy is wearing white, the bad guy is wearing black. That's where like fucking Darth Vader, the whole light side and the dark side. We got this from Westerns. It's literally like fucking children's shit. You know, like these were the superhero movies of their time. You know, I don't know.
Okay, so maybe the problem is that you're trying to take a simple
concept and make it into like a modern drama. Like, is that the problem? I don't know. There's something off about it that doesn't quite work.
I don't think that's a problem. I think that's what makes it more interesting than the other westerns that we already have. You know.
Okay, go ahead, Brian. Tell us your review. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
No. He has to go last.
What? you can't go,
you can't let me wrap
you
it
can't
up.
Close this out, Jared?
Oh, hell no. No. You're going to be eloquent. I'm going to be real simple. We've
Jared,
talked
I
this
just
to death, man.
A bunch of things. What are you talking about? I'm not eloquent. What? No, nobody's ever accused me of that in my life. Anyway.
Okay, well, I just did, darling.
First one.
look, I think what's fucking you guys up is that it doesn't wrap up, but that's not the point of this. This hasn't been done before. He's doing something different. I fucking think that goddamn Kevin Costner's bold. He's putting his own money behind it. He's made something fucking incredible. Like, I don't see how, like, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe you just can't enjoy a slow burn, but I did not have any trouble with this fucking runtime. Both times that I saw it, I was invested in every fucking thing that I watched. So I don't know. Maybe it just hit me right. You know, I had trouble with, like, okay, there's no wrap-up. There's no, like, ending on my first watch. But on the second watch, after I gave it a little bit more time, I was like, yeah, I enjoy it because I know that there's another one coming. You know what I mean? So, and it's designed to be enjoyed as a whole. If you just read the first chapter of a book and put it down, well, hell, that sucked. Well, you don't know how it ended. Well, this is just the beginning.
Was that first chapter of the book sold as a fucking book individually by itself?
Well, this one wasn't sold as
that's a
book.
This is not sold as its no
by itself.
No, this is not sold as its own thing. He's like, I'm making fucking four of these. There's maybe five, but I'm making four of these. This is the beginning, and we're going to try to put them out. He initially wanted to try to release them all within 6 months of each other.
That would have been cool.
But like, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, man. This movie's a fucking 10, guys. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is like we want to be ambitious as filmmakers. This is a fucking top end ambitious filmmaker trying to do something. Like, we need to support that. Like, I don't know. It is really enjoyable. I actually enjoyed the fuck out of it. I think it's visually appealing. The music is good. All the acting stuff is good. I don't know. I love seeing all these characters. I love seeing all these people that we've seen before. I don't know. I'm supporting Kevin Costner, man. Make it happen.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna echo all that. I mean, yes, man, guys, I super enjoyed my time in the theater. I was not bored. I was 3 hours of constant entertainment. I loved seeing all these characters go through all this shit. I don't give a fuck if it has a wrapped up ending. It's chapter one. It's the same thing as Lord of the Rings. It's the same thing as Star Wars. It's the same thing as Harry Potter. I have literally grown up my entire adult, my fucking, ever since I was born, I have been prepped for this fucking thing, right? You know, it's fine. It is literally like in our DNA at this point. Like, we don't get franchise films that are finished. We just don't. That's just how fucking life is. And I don't understand how, like, everybody can, like, is going around sucking Dune Part 2's dick. Just, like, sucking that dick. Just getting, like, oh, that spice is so fucking good. Let me, oh, yeah. And then, like, when you come to shit on this movie, it's just like, what are we talking about? Like, what the fuck? It's the same fucking goddamn thing. It's the same thing. The spectacle that was in that movie is the sci-fi version of this movie's Western reality. You know, it's the same fucking thing to me. It's just realistic, and it doesn't involve space shit. And, you know, like, I don't think that makes it boring. I don't think that makes it bad. I think that just makes it the first chapter of a really awesome story with a bunch of characters that I do want to see where these stories go. Like, I will be there. I am so excited for the second, third, and fourth chapters. I am like, God damn it, I think this may be the most excited I've been for a franchise since James Bond ended with No Time to Die. Like, I am here for it. I'm ready. Let's do it. Like, oh, and Kevin Costner looks so fucking goddamn great on a horse. He still looks good on a horse. And when he turns around in that fucking goddamn trailer for the second movie, and he's riding that horse off in the distance, he turns that fucking horse around and just,
oh, and he starts
shooting that fucking goddamn Winchester, oh, so fucking good. Just cocking that, yeah, bitch at the fucking camera. I'm like, you look sexy, goddamn.
Smolder.
Oh, this is so fucking cool. It's so cool. And like, okay, so full disclosure, like, when I was growing up, like, Clint Eastwood westerns were not that big of a thing. They were like starting to fade out, you know. But I fell in love with those when I was a little kid, and my mom used to take me horseback riding from like the age of like 10 to like 14, and I would go ride. And I was always so pissed off because they were English saddles. And they were not the English flat saddles. So they don't look like the saddles that you see in the Westerns, you know, because it's a different kind of saddle. It drove me crazy. It pissed me off. I love horses. I love all of this stuff, guys. Like, I'm a big fan of Westerns. I like Westerns more than I like superhero films. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, The Dark Knight. But, I mean, look, man, the Dark Knight ain't got nothing on, like, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly and... Oh, Once Upon a Time in the West, Red River, Rio Bravo. These are such great films. Oh, Unforgiven is another great one. Like, that's one I saw when I was fucking super young. I think I was like 10 when that movie came out. Oh, fucking. Still, that movie actually taught me the word hoa, as Jared says.
Hoa. Hoa.
There we go. So, I don't know what you want out of movies. This is what I want. I want to see cool actors do cool shit, and then I want to see the characters go through change. I want to, like, I love seeing Kevin Costner take these ideas of the Western that we've seen brought in cinema before. I like this more than Dances with Wolves, even. Like, I mean, Dances with Wolves has, like, a different version of the Western that's being, I don't know, revitalized, but this is, like... This is the Clint Eastwood. This is the John Wayne. This is the Gary Cooper version, revision of that. It's so good. Look, if you're a fan, please go see this movie of Westerns, of Kevin Costner, of Yellowstone. You deserve to go see it. You need to see it on the biggest screen possible. I'm telling you, those mountains, those backgrounds, those sets, those fucking costumes, they look great. If a Western sounds boring to you, any Western you've ever seen sounds terrible, maybe wait for it on streaming and then you can go decide for yourself whether you like it or not, and you can go see the second one like a real full-blooded American would in cinemas. Jared, what's Rotten Tomatoes?
Let's listen to this bullshit. Kevin Costner doesn't lack for ambition as he sketches this frontier saga across the widest of canvases. But Horizon's first chapter proves too diffuse in scope for it to satisfy as a self-contained endeavor. I don't like how they wrote that.
Diffused in scope? What a jackass.
Yes. Yeah,
who wrote
I know.
That?
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Horizon, an American saga, chapter one. With a 47% tomato meter and a 71% audience score.
Whoa. 71 audience. I do think people are like just, and now when I say people, I mean critics, are shitting all over this movie because they feel that it is a Kevin Costner vanity project as opposed to like any kind of real movie. And they're like dinging him for like the self-indulgent vanity project-ness of it.
Yeah, I think people are hating on this. From what I've seen, there doesn't seem to be... It just seems to be like a lot of repeated, yes, it's a vanity project. And I don't know if this is just like a jealousy, like, how dare you kind of thing. Like, who do you think you are? Like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. I actually think that's kind of fucking amazing that he gets to do this.
We'll see when the new Coppola movie comes out. People say the same shit.
Oh, probably not because it's Coppola.
What's the new Coppola movie coming out?
Megalopolis.
When does it come out? I don't know. I think it was supposed to come out in December. Is that when it's supposed to come out?
But he also put his own money up for that. A lot more than Costner did.
Yeah, he didn't sell the ranch.
He sold the vineyard.
He sold the whole thing, man. Didn't he sell like the whole label and everything? Like he didn't have
all of it,
right? Oh fuck.
Yeah.
That's gotta hurt. It hurt so bad that his wife passed away from it.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true or not, but his wife did die. Fucking.
Not the vineyard, Francis. Not the vineyard.
Yeah, she died like fucking 2 months later.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like,
I lost my vineyard and then my wife.
That's probably why he sold it. He was like, if she's not around, there's no point in having it.
I mean, honestly,
who's running this? Yeah.
It was for her, and it just reminds me of her. Let it go and make a movie.
No, but like, I feel like, you know, throughout history, okay, there have been a lot of vanity projects, and they all end up being really, yes, over the top, but they're also really cool. And like, why is it like better to just hoard our money now? I think it's great.
Let's take the Disney philosophy. We make money to make more fucking movies.
Yeah. I mean, just because I didn't enjoy this doesn't mean that it's not bad. And it just means I've said this, I think, multiple times now. I'm not the audience for this. I think there is an audience for this. I think, of course, this deserves to be made. The fact that he did it himself, that he hired all of these crew members, that this is not AI, like, that's amazing. Yes, this should be supported.
Yeah, no, that's fair. There's a lot about this movie that is worth celebrating. It's not for me.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X. Oh, that's the same thing as Twitter. God damn it. Instagram. There we go. Same, yeah. That's the third one. At Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at CheckTheGate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Elk... God damn it. X. Whatever. Twitter. X. Who gives a fuck? You guys know what I mean. At Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show with a little bit of the soundtrack. We're going to be playing... I don't know.
I'll never let you go, Jack.
I don't even know what to say to that. I'm literally at a loss for words. We're going to play Horizon main title theme. This is from John Durbin. Enjoy.